from KETR News, this is The Morning Bell, a discussion of all things education in Northeast Texas. Today is a special extended episode of The Morning Bell. We have a panel of superintendents from across Northeast Texas here in the KETR studios today. I'm Daniel Starks, and class has started. Over the past few months, we've touched on many issues that school districts face every day, whether it be from taser use by school officers, the drop of Algebra 2, or even school security. Now, on today's episode, we're going to take a more in-depth look at some of these issues and get a little bit more insight from some other districts across Northeast Texas. Joining us today in studio are three superintendents from across the region to discuss issues within their districts and also overall issues the districts face. Our first guest has many years of experience within education. After coaching and holding the assistant principal position at Winsboro High School for over a decade, he moved his family to Brownsboro in 2003, where he became principal of Brownsboro High School. In 2007, he joined the administration at Sunnyvale ISD as superintendent, Mr. Doug Williams. Mr. Williams, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Our next guest has been in education since 1995 and has worked in many school districts. Prior to working in Terrell, he was superintendent of Quinlan ISD, Scurry-Rosser ISD, and also holds a Blue Ribbon Award for Dramatic Academic Improvement for the 2004-2008 school years. From Terrell ISD, Superintendent Michael French.
Thanks for having me.
And our final guest is one that you've heard here on The Morning Bell many times before. He's worked in many different school districts across Texas, including Kaufman, Edgewood, Winsboro, Garland, Sulphur Springs, and Sheldon school districts. He was also an instructor and coach at East Texas State University, which is now Texas A&M University Commerce. Joining us once again here on The Morning Bell, Superintendent from Commerce ISD, Mr. Blake Cooper.
Good morning.
All right, gentlemen, thanks for being with us here today on The Morning Bell.
We've got many things we're going to talk about here during this program. First off, we did a short little series this past couple of weeks over school security in districts across Northeast Texas. We spoke with some emergency management over in Quinlan ISD and saw how they did some things, and also spoke with Dr. Marvin Beatty over in Bonham to see how they did some things as well. I'd like to pick y'all's brains on some school security issues that y'all are facing in y'all's districts. First of all, we're going to start off with Mr. Cooper from Commerce. How are y'all keeping y'all's kids safe? I understand that y'all have this new thing at y'all's campuses where y'all have a digital type let-in system or something like that.
Yes, Daniel, what we have is we just instituted about a month ago a buzzer entry system where there's a small camera that's mounted outside of the stores. If somebody wants to come in the building, they push a button that notifies the office personnel. They see the picture. They have some questions they ask. Once they feel comfortable, they hit a buzzer and that unlocks the door, and then they can come in to the school building. And and actually have had very positive comments from the community on that.
Now, how long have y'all had this implemented?
About a month. It's been about a month now.
Have y'all had any issues with parents or anyone needing to be let in, getting maybe angry or something like that they had to go through that process?
Actually, not at all. Well, we had one father that at the high school that wasn't real happy and end up leaving us a rather, let's just say left an email that had some choice words in it, a voicemail, I'm sorry, at our office. But outside of that, no, it's been very, very positive.
Well, good. Well, that's always a good thing to have. Over in Sunnyvale, do y'all have any things like that, a buzzer entry system or anything like that?
Yeah, we did, Daniel. We installed our system over the semester break. And so when we came back after Christmas, sometime in January, we went to the same type of buzz-in system. Like Blake has said, for the most part, it's been incredibly positive. One of the things that we've really had to work hard on with our office staff is to make sure someone is there to let the people into the building. Even now, I'll go up to the front of the building, and about the time I reach to, put my key in, I hear the click. So that means that, they've already seen me. And now I'm surprised I haven't, had to go through some kind of extensive background check, just trying to get in the building. Wouldn't you think so, Michael?
They don't know us.
No,
they
not a bit.
They don't know you like we know you.
I understand that.
Well, over in Terrell, do y'all have anything like that as well?
Well, we have the same buzz-in systems, but we're currently in about a $10 million renovation. And one of the things that we're doing is creating vestibules where it would contain the visitors until we can run them through the Raptor system and things of that nature, but it's quite costly to do that, and we're able to do it at most of our facilities, but some of the older ones built in the 50s and the early 60s were just not able to do that at this time, so we use the buzzer system.
You might explain what the Raptor system
That's
is.
That's what I was about to ask, right?
Well, the Raptor system is when you come into the office, you give your form of ID and you run it through there, and what it does, it goes into a database and it checks and see if you're possibly a known sex offender or anything that would bring a red flag that we don't need entry into the school building or supervised entry. So it's a pretty safe system, and I imagine most of the guys have that as well. Even when I go into the campuses, they run my ID a lot of times, and that's a good thing.
You know, Daniel, when you look at what's gone on in our country, I guess over the last year and a half since Sandy Hook, it really caused all of us, all three of us, to take a step back and say, how can we make sure that our building is that much more secure? Schools across the nation have done the same thing. You know, at the time, I was an assistant principal in 2001 when 9/11 happened, and when that went on, we went through the same kind of thing. I think the charge that we have in front of us is making sure that stays in the forefront so that we don't wait till that next incident to really do that analysis. So we have an ongoing process where we've got a security team that meets on a regular basis to continue to review those documents and do some self-analysis. I think that's very important with us, is making sure that we're doing everything that we can.
I'll tell you something that we're going through right now is a safety audit. By law, you have people come in to determine whether or not they check your building. Are doors open? Those kind of things? Can people get into your building and just walk into the hallways unannounced? Strangers, who stops and those kind of, and they have to report those findings to Austin, to San Marcos, to the Texas Safety Center down there. And that's what we're in the process right now. In fact, I was talking with our district officer, Joe Venable, just an hour ago about where we were in that process. So that also is part of what we do.
Right. Well, we've got about a minute left. I wanted to talk to you real fast, Mr. Cooper. I know that we have all these policies and procedures in place for security, but it can also start internally. We spoke with Mr. Verdi Montgomery last week here on the Morning Bell about Rachel's Challenge. And I know Commerce ISD used to have Rachel's Challenge. Do they have that anymore?
No, not to the extent. Of course, when we had Mr. Montgomery, he's on the board of directors of Rachel's Challenge,
right.
And that makes a big difference, and he was very passionate about it. We still have some of the residual effects or residual things from that as far as the kindness piece to it, but not to the extent. And plus, it's a very costly thing, and he was able to get us some breaks on cost because of his connections with Rachel's Challenge. But no, that's more just a kindness on the campus thing,
mm-hmm.
and in the community and those kind of things. You might have been a part of it there before you graduated. So it's a great problem.
And I remember whenever he brought that to our campus, it was it changed not only the campuses, but also the community as well, because he had, whenever Daryl Scott, the father of Rachel Scott, the girl who was shot, one of the girls that was killed in Columbine, it changed just the community. A community came out and listened to this presentation, and it just changed it. So, you know, we may have these security procedures and policies in place, but also it can start from within with just an act of kindness and things of that nature.
Yes.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to a special extended version of the Morning Bell. Coming up here in just a moment, we'll talk about a hot topic going on across the Northeast Texas and also the nation, and that's standardized testing. We'll have that plus more coming up here on the Morning Bell on your station 88.9 KETR.
I got a few days off from this place. What am I going to do? I got to get rid of that unwanted vehicle. What was it I heard the other day? It was the KETR vehicle donation program. I think the number was, it was 855-KETR-123. They said I could call and find a time to have my old vehicle hauled away free of charge. It might even benefit me on my taxes later when I get that receipt. And the proceeds are going to benefit my favorite station, KETR. 855-KETR-123. I can't forget that. Now if they just play KETR in this elevator, geez.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Bell here on your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm Daniel Starks, and I'm joined with three superintendents from across Northeast Texas. We have Sunnyvale ISD Superintendent Mr. Doug Williams, Terrell ISD Superintendent Mr. Michael French, and Commerce ISD Superintendent Mr. Blake Cooper. Now, going on right now across Northeast Texas and much of the state is this I guess you could say dreaded, but maybe needed at the time, star testing. Now, I've been told that Mr. Williams here has some things to talk about when it comes to star testing.
I've got a couple opinions on it, Daniel. We'll just say that. First, I'm going to say something that may be a little controversial, and would love to hear from the other my two colleagues. I believe that standardized testing is necessary. I don't think that the message that we need to send out to any of our constituents is that we are avoiding the concept of testing. We believe in accountability. We believe in testing. The issue that has transpired over the course of the last 25 years is an over-reliance on testing model. What we are talking about, and when you were a high school student, you took probably 12 standardized tests just during those freshman, sophomore, junior year.
Right.
And because of that, you were able to graduate from high school, which those are all necessary skills. What I am talking about is I don't believe that a school district should be completely measured by their success on that test, because if that's the case, what the school district is going to focus on is making sure you get ready for that test. We don't want you to get ready for that test. We want you to get ready for your future. And that's the concept. That's what we are talking about across the state. We want future-ready students. And the future-ready is the future that you want. You know, you're sitting behind a radio microphone now. I believe in the opportunity that you should have to be able to explore those things when you're in high school.
Right.
And with a lot of the changes that have taken place in the last legislative session, we hopefully have been able to open up some of those pathways for those kids. But yet, as school districts, we still don't want to be talking about whether or not we were successful. I know one of the questions was, what's your district rated?
Right.
We don't talk district rating anymore. What we talk about is we want individual student success on the test, but as a district, we're in the business of trying to get you ready for your future.
We've got both of the other superintendents are writing some things down, so you'll have some things to talk about. Mr. French.
Well, he was talking about we're not afraid of accountability. I'm not afraid of accountability if it's fair accountability.
That's right.
That's my issue. And I've spoken at length with multiple legislatures on this. I think standardized testing is a slap in the face of good teachers. Because quite frankly, when did a teacher's assessment that they do daily not matter anymore?
Right.
Because the end result is a kid can be an A-plus student with the assistance of a teacher and working hard and having parental involvement in that child's life and not master an ELC or a STAR because of test anxiety or being sick that day. And it doesn't matter. The teacher's thrown out. I'll tell you a quick story. When I was a third grade teacher in Mesquite ISD, I had a young lady student that came in and she was not feeling well. And back then it was the tax test. And I knew that she was my best kid in the class. And she could pass the test. And I prayed to the good Lord for forgiveness of this because I'm not proud of this. And I said, young lady, just take it. Push through. You'll do all right. Well, she was not doing well. She pushed through, and she didn't pass. And she was the top student in the class. And I told myself at that time, I'll never sell out a kid ever again to make me or a school system look good.
Yeah, and that's what's going on across our state. You know, stories like that, because we have third graders that are physically ill, you know, in just anticipating trying to take the test. And it's because there's so much pressure that's being placed on them by teachers, and the teachers have pressure being placed on them by the principals and principals by the superintendents, because our district is completely... Most districts are completely evaluated by that. One of the things that I've advocated, Daniel, is that each school district be able to come up with their own district accountability system. I'm sitting with superintendent from Commerce and superintendent from Terrell. These guys do a good job with the kids they have. Should not be the same measure that we have in Sunnyvale. Why? Economically disadvantaged rates are different.
Yes.
You know, if you've got a 50% economically disadvantaged rate, 60%, Michael's writing down a number, 82% economically disadvantaged rate, those issues are different. So what they need to be able to do is come up with a system that says, this is how we are performing in Terrell. This is what we're doing to make sure our kids are successful in Terrell. And it's going to look different in Sunnyvale.
Right.
But yet, that's where that accountability is going to come into place, and we advocate that. The other thing that we advocate is if we're allowing each district to define what that future is for their kid, and that kid and that parent work together for that, then what we are producing is we're producing students that enjoy school. School's relevant to them, and when school is relevant to you, you learn better and you enjoy going to school, as opposed to saying, no, everybody's got to take physics, everybody's got to take algebra 2. It's not for everyone. And what's happening is we have kids that are disengaged in the process because of what's happening. So therefore, why should we expect them to be successful?
Well, let me add this. Part of my frustration is, and we'll talk more about this in a minute, we have a standardized test where they want every student in third grade, fifth grade, or whatever grade it is, they want them to know those particular items, those teaks.
Right.
Well, it's proven that the economically disadvantaged student costs more to educate because of all the things that goes into that. You know, we're at 70%, 82%, and Sunnyvale's actually getting ready to grow in that regard probably in the next few months because of some construction going on there. But, I mean, there's a lot of outside factors. I mean, hunger alone affects a kid's ability to learn.
Right.
A kid comes to school hungry. We feed them breakfast.
And you understand hungry, don't you?
About like your pretty hair. But fortunately, you know, the hair care, you know, we don't have cosmetology in Commerce, but they do in Sunnyvale.
Oh, there you go.
Specifically for the superintendent.
Just for the superintendent.
Okay. Yeah, but that bothers me. And so it's like comparing apples to oranges sometimes. You know, I mean, when you look at the different districts throughout the state of Texas and all the makeup of students, they want you to know all the same stuff, all these students to know that, when they come from different backgrounds.
Yeah, and what we're advocating is that the state legislators allow us to define what student success is and allow us to define it on a district-by-district, campus-by-campus basis.
Right.
And again, it's going to look different in Commerce. It's going to look different in Terrell. It's going to look different in Sunnyvale. And that's why I'm saying we're not running from accountability. We will define what accountability is. Our community will define what our accountability is. Not just those of us that, you know, get paid once a month. We want our community to help us define what that accountability is, and then we're going to go achieve that. I completely agree with what Blake's saying. The challenges for each school district are different, but yet the system that's been set up to measure each is the same. And when it gets back to that individual student, that's what it should be all about. It should be about that student, you know, in Algebra 1, as opposed to the system as a whole.
Well, and one of the things, I'd give you an analogy here, or at least an example. The University of Texas A&M Commerce, the entire system is a exceptional system, and it's put out a lot of leaders into this nation and in this world. And I guarantee you the president of this college never passed a STAR or an ELC test, and he's doing okay.
Yeah.
and I think we've lost focus. And one of the other things I'd really like to point out is if you are going to measure everyone by the same accountability standards, and I consider that the outputs, your inputs must be identical. You cannot fund some districts, their students at $5,000, and then other districts at $9,000. If you're asking the same accountability standards, you have to give equal inputs and funding. And that's not the case. We got equity problems and we got adequacy problems. And until that's addressed, you're trying to rate people in an unfair, unjust, and I believe criminal system to a certain degree.
We'll continue this in just a moment. We'll continue. It's a very heated discussion, and we will continue this here in just a moment. You're listening to The Morning Bell right here on your station, KETR.
When you think of Texas, you think of tumbleweeds, cacti, and the Wild West. But when you think of Texas music, do you just think of country? Heck no, because Texas is a beacon for all types of music. And if it's produced here in the Lone Star State, you know you can hear it on Notably Texan. Hosted by Matt Minky, Notably Texan features interviews with and music by native Texans. Tune in weekdays, noon to 3, and Saturdays, 7 to midnight, here on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Welcome back to the Morning Bell here on your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm Daniel Starks. I'm joined with three superintendents from across the region. We're joined by Commerce ISD Superintendent Blake Cooper, Sunnyvale ISD Superintendent Mr. Doug Williams, and Terrell ISD Superintendent Mr. Michael French. Now, we were talking about financing for schools based on standardized testing and the way that their students learn and the output of their students via the standardized testing. Now, we were talking with Mr. French about the way that if you're going to, if you're going to measure the success of schools based on the output, you have to have the identical input based on the money inflow that comes from the state and other resources. And I believe, Mr. Williams, you were going to say something about that.
I think I lost my train of thought, but let me see if I can go back to it. Yeah, what Michael is talking about is the base education that's required across the state and the concept of equity. You know, there's a lawsuit that's pending in Austin right now that's really revolves around these concepts. Terrell ISD, Michael could tell you what their number per pupil is, what their financing number. At Sunnyvale, ours is a higher number, and that goes all the way back to an 05-06 system. And really what we have spent a lot of time, Michael and I have had this conversation in Austin, and we've had it in various places across the state. He is the standard bearer in this area for equity. I'm not advocating against the idea of equity. I believe that schools should be funded equally at that base education, you know, to provide the base education. Right. What we are advocating is that the state provide us an ability to receive more. That's the adequacy issue. You know, the analogy that I've used, if we went to a pure socialistic form of government so that every family was funded the same amount based off the number of kids you have, you know, everybody's going to get $500 per month per kid. I don't know if we could make that work in modern society. If everyone got $1,000, then maybe that would be a more adequate funding level per family, and it would definitely be equal. So what we are advocating is that, yes, if we are funded equitably, equally, then the adequacy level must be increased by the state. And that's, you know, that's the other side of the discussion. Because if not, we are all going to suffer. And what we are asking the state to do is we're asking the state to step up to the plate. It's really come back to the local taxpayers way too much.
Well, one of the things that I'd like to point out, too, is Sunnyvale does not have adequate funding. In fact, they need more. So if Sunnyvale, who's funded higher, and I'm thankful for Doug and his kids, and Mr. Cooper and myself, Terrell ISD and Commerce ISD, we're not even close to that, then you could imagine we have a lot of catch-up. But I think we should catch up to the Sunnyvales, and then all of us should be lifted, because there's very few school districts in the state of Texas that are funded adequately based on what is required on the accountability side.
Yeah, and I know, I'm sorry, Blake, but what we're looking at is the cost to educate kids continues to escalate. Right. You know, if you even want to begin to think about providing the ample technology that is required for, you know, a 21st century kid, the money's just not there for that, even, you know, to even think about doing a one-to-one initiative.
Going off that, the technology issue, I know that Commerce ISD has a really good learning with technology. As a matter of fact, I believe that a couple of your teachers actually went and spoke to Region 10 today about technology. Talk about that just briefly.
Well, we've been very fortunate to and really be ahead of the curve, and I've said before publicly, Al Shipp is the reason for that. I mean, he had the forethought back 15 years ago to be prepared to have the bandwidth that we got to have in a school district like Commerce to have the technology we have. So the one-to-one that we're actually, Doug and I are going to be presenting at our Region 10 summer conference this summer about technology in that regard. But the thing about technology you got to understand is that it doesn't matter. You can have all the tools and all the toys you want, but if the teachers don't know how to best engage students in the classroom, then it doesn't matter what you have.
Right.
And so we have spent a lot of money, and they have too. I mean, we spent a lot of money on working with teachers and training teachers how to use the technology in the classroom that, again, engages students. Those teachers today at Region 10 were part of what was called the Digital Fluency Academy through Region 10 this year, and they're our first graduates of that, and they are basically telling other teachers what they have done to implement technology in the classroom. And that's what we're going to be discussing this summer.
Yeah. So, you know, the entire concept of standardized testing and funding, one of the base issues is there are a number of people that are responsible for setting up the education program of the state of Texas, and they expect us to educate kids like it was 1990. It's not.
Right. You
think about how much education has changed since we were in school, since your dad was in school.
Right.
It's night and day different. And we have got to make sure that we continue to lead, whether it's funding issues, whether it's state accountability, technology, you know, digital integration. We've got to make sure we step up and make sure that we get kids, again, future ready. Get them ready for the 21st century.
Daniel, you've seen the sign probably over there by Lone Star, by Walmart. And that was put there specifically for a reason. And the sign says CISD students are future ready.
That's it.
And it has signs on where some of our students have been accepted to go after high school. It might not be a college. We've got a cosmetology college. We've got a welding college. And the signs are out there. We've got Paris Junior College. We've got North Carolina State. We've got Texas. You know, we got Texas A&M Commerce. We have students that whatever that future is, we want them prepared for that. And we want to champion that. But to get them future ready isn't just a 4x4 cookie cutter way of doing it. And that's what we as superintendents have to take advantage of House Bill 5. I mean, for example, this morning we found out we have over 70 people are interested in our health sciences track. Right. We've had 20. Now all of a sudden for freshmen, now they're seeing these opportunities. We got over 70 kids interested in health science.
Wow.
That's awesome. But that's what we have got to do as superintendents and school districts is make sure we provide these quality opportunities for our students to be future ready. Because if we don't, the legislature will take it away from us. So we've got to take advantage of that. But we also need to have adequate funding to be able to provide the most opportunities for our students.
Right.
And Michael French will probably go on that.
Well, going briefly right back to standardized testing, and I know we don't want to encourage parents to do this, but I've got to ask, have y'all had any parents, because it's a hot topic at the moment, have their child opt out of any of the testing?
We did.
I have not.
Mm-hmm. I have not.
Okay. Well, I know that's a very hot button thing right now, especially within media and things like that, with this big standardized testing uproar, if I might call it, this semester and this school year. We've had a lot of students realizing and, I guess, misinterpreting the code when it comes to standardized testing and thinking that they can, based on morals or religious beliefs, opt out of this testing. And I know that some of them, quote, part of that code and not all of the code, because if they continue to read onto that code. And you actually, Mr. Cooper, spoke to me about that.
Yes, very much so. And the thing about it is, and we don't take it personal, because we're actually on the same page, and it's elementary parents. We actually, there was a bill that was passed to limit elementary testing, grades 3 through 8, on the governor's desk to sign, and he vetoed it. So the last session.
Correct.
But we don't disagree with the parents. You know, really, we're all on the same page, and we're on the same team. But the way to change things is the same way it happened last session. Parents, moms, they need to get after it with our representatives and down in Austin, and they will listen to parents.
Yeah, the ironic thing is that a lot of our state leaders really, they get their feathers ruffled anytime the feds come in and start telling them what's good for Texas. We're the same way. We know what's best for Sunnyvale. These guys know what's best for Commerce and Terrell. And our governing bodies do. Let us be able to determine that. And I think we're going to have a system that everyone can be proud of.
Anytime you centralize anything, it becomes more bureaucratic. Testing has become a bureaucratic money-making operation for private entities. And anytime you get the ability to capitalize in a capitalist society when it should not be that way on this particular issue, when we're talking about student learning, it becomes bureaucratic. And when that happens, morals almost go out the windows every time.
Well, this is obviously an ongoing hot topic that we will continue to cover here on The Morning Bell. And hopefully I'll be able to get you gentlemen to come back in sometime next semester, because it's been an honor having you here on The Morning Bell. We were joined with Superintendent of Commerce Schools, Mr. Blake Cooper, Superintendent of Sunnyvale, Mr. Doug Williams, and then Superintendent of Terrell ISD, Mr. Michael French. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us today.
Our pleasure.
Well, there's the bell, so that means we're out of time for today's episode. As a matter of fact, this is going to be the end of your semester here on The Morning Bell. We'll join you again in the fall semester in full force. Thanks for listening. This has been The Morning Bell from your station 88.9 KETR. I'm Daniel Starks.